welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Here we are, living the dream. I hope you guys are doing well. Today, we have the second installment of something that I think is going to be a really fun monthly podcast, which is the Q&A session from my private membership community. They are so generous and so lovely to share their time with you guys, with everyone out there. I do announce to them at the top of the Q&A that absolutely I will keep someone's question to the end and answer it privately just for the group if they don't want to be on the podcast. And every single person has chosen to be on the podcast and help others. And that's one of the things I love most about having a small membership community where I get to know you guys and I interact with you every single month several times is that there starts to breed this energy of desire to help others, to really like not just one's own healing is the objective. They start to truly hold their hand out for others and not only for each other in the community, but for everyone out there in podcast land, having your own questions. Because I think we've all learned by now, those of you who followed my work, there are not endless questions. I mean, we are human beings. When we suffer the same. When we celebrate the same, even though it might not look like it until you look more closely. But human beings are really very similar to one another. And the fact that everyone asks their questions and then everyone's like, oh my God, that was my question. And thank you. And they type in the chat something you won't be able to see, but they all like thank each other for asking a question that they were thinking. And it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful collaborative community. So I'm going to share that with you today. If this inspires anyone to want to join us, if you need a little bit more support in your healing journey, if you want me to be listening to you and really knowing you and answer your questions, and if you want the support of other people walking this path, please do join us. All you have to do if you want to be in the private community is go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. You'll get to the homepage and just scroll down a touch. You'll see the button to join. It includes a 3-hour Zoom every month where we are doing a lesson. We are communicating with each other. We're into small groups. We're doing journal speak together. It's really an incredible thing. That's always on a weekend, always on a Saturday. And then we have a Q&A once a month that is on a weekday, but both are recorded. So if you're in the community and you can't make either of them live on one or any month, you will get access to those Zooms. So you get all the information. And then of course there's our daily Facebook page. It's a private community where everybody is in conversation, supporting each other, asking questions, and they answer each other's questions. And I also am on that every day answering nearly every question that's asked. So these are the perks for being part of the group. And we hope that you will join us because we would love to have new people watch you grow and watch you guys help each other. It's amazing. Okay. One more thing. If you are interested, my Omega retreat this summer, live and in person, is on sale. Just go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs. And if you would like to hear the Omega talks from last year that Lisa and I put together, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on live from Omega. You can purchase those talks and get a sense of what Omega is like before you come to join us. Okay, my loves. I hope this new year is treating you well so far. And I'm sending you big love. Enjoy this Q&A with my membership community. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys for being willing, my amazing, beautiful community, to share your questions on the podcast. We got such an amazing response last time for people who enjoyed hearing the Q&A. So, Kim, we are going to start with you.
Yay, thank you so much. My question is, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about pre-grieving, because since I hurt so bad every day, it's like I pre-grieve, like what's going to happen to me and who's going to help take care of me. And could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Okay. So the concept of pre-grieving is something that I learned about in the recovery community, because there is a, and when I say recovery, I mean 12, the 12-step community. I always give credit where credit is due. And the reason that I think it's so powerful is because it, you know, they say that when we have a foot in the past, we're living in depression, and when we have a foot in the future, we're living in anxiety, and the idea is, of course, to stay in today. And pre-grieving is just about catastrophizing, future casting, and being more present in a reality that is the future, which of course is completely uncertain than where we are today. And I think really, the power over knowing about pre-grieving is that it gives you a choice. So what I often say to you guys is that, you know, I'm looking to offer you freedom. And what does freedom mean? Freedom means you have a choice. Because when you look at people or countries or societies that are not free, it means that they don't have a choice. Either their government is deciding, or, you know, whatever is going on in the world. When we talk about personal freedom, we are talking about the fact that we don't want to be owned by our chronic condition. So you have a choice when you realize you could be pre-grieving to decide not to. And really, it is as almost it's almost as simple as that. It's awareness. Everything important starts with awareness. And so when you realize you're doing it, Kim, which you beautifully are able to articulate, then you can stop and say, okay, is this serving me? Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, as we know. And so that's where we get a lot of power to choose when we realize that, like, okay, but I feel like it's not serving me, but I can't stop. Well, how much is it hurting you? How much is it dumping into the emotional reservoir that could potentially circumvent the whole reason for pre-grieving in the first place if we're lowering it and the symptoms go away? So I just all I can say about pre-grieving is that it is toxic. It is a it's completely imagined because there is absolutely no way for us to know the future. And it is taking your ability from having a lowered reservoir or it is fighting against the tide when you're doing this work. So just sit with it. Love yourself. To stop pre-grieving, you have to practice a ton of self-compassion because the reason you're pre-grieving in the first place is because you're scared. You know, you're not doing it to be a pain in the ass. You're doing it because you're scared and you're sad. And so having compassion for that is also really helpful in moving toward allowing it to ease.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Great question. Holly, you're up.
You've spoke, I know you've spoke before about needing everyone like in your life to be okay in order for you to be okay. And I know since you've spoke about that, it's just something I've really, since doing your work, become aware of that that is something I do. And it wasn't something I was really aware of before. And I know you've spoke about sort of doing the inner child work and it being linked to something that's probably happened in your past or when you're a child. And my question really is, do we need to sort of dig and figure out where this comes from? Because I feel like there's a million reasons that it could be because of, like, so many things have happened, like in my childhood and in my past. And yeah, basically, is that something that you would say I would need to figure out in order to be able to heal, really?
Yeah, so I it's a great question. A lot of people ask this question around all the TMS work. So here's what I want to say. Anytime there is urgency to do anything, to figure something out, to get it taken care of, that causes more TMS because urgency is connected to fear, and the only thing we have to do is send a message of safety to the nervous system. So the first thing I want to say is don't ever, ever, and I say this to all of you guys, get wrapped up with, I will only be symptom free if I can figure out where this came from. I would say, and this is where there's, I do get a little tiny bit of like a spiritual flavor in here, which is like when we release, when we say, okay, I know I have this feeling. So I'm starting in the present moment. I have this feeling. I have this thing I do. You know, I have this thing where I am over-identifying with my child. And if they're unhappy, I can't be happy. Okay, I notice I'm doing that. Okay, fine. You might be able to connect that to something specific in your childhood. And if you wear it loosely and just open to it and sort of not grasp for what it needs to be, it may be delivered to you. It may come to you. Like that's kind of what happened to me. I was doing this work because everything I teach to you really originates in work that I've done in myself. And I was like, oh my God, all I know is that I am so completely owned by this feeling right now. And so I just let it be. And what ended up happening was it revealed itself to me as I was doing the work, which was, I see what's happening. If I wasn't safe in this particular situation when I was 11, and I'm putting that on my 11-year-old who's having a very different life than me in many ways. And so I connected it and it did help me stop. But that's more when we just open ourselves to having the experience. The reason the inner child work is powerful is because sometimes while doing the inner child work, it delivers those messages to you. You know, like you sit with that 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old, 26-year-old, you know, whatever your past is, and you allow them to speak. And as they're speaking, you go, ah, I see why I keep doing this because that was so painful for me. I thought I needed to blah, blah, blah to survive, you know? So anytime people ask me, do I need to uncover this or do I need to, my first re response is, let's take the urgency out of this. Let's just allow, let's be with, let's know that the slower you go, the quicker you get there. And that is going to be the right posture for that kind of stuff to be revealed to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Wonderful question. Camilla.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, awesome. My
Okay.
question is really similar to that one, and you had posted something in the comment on the membership group regarding that you don't necessarily have to identify what you're feeling specifically in order for the symptoms to go away, right? So I just wanted you to speak a little bit more to that because I think in my journal speak, I am always trying to identify like what is it that I'm feeling or what feeling is connected to the symptom. And that has been really helpful and really effective for me. But how can I also just release that maybe I don't need to identify the feeling in order for the symptom to release? I'm struggling to
Right.
make that connection.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to give you a similar answer, but a slightly different just take on it. So I'm going to say it a million zillion times between now and when you stop knowing me. We have to have one end in mind. We send a message of safety to the nervous system. All of symptoms fail to fire when the nervous system doesn't think you need something to be protected from. Like once you are, sorry, to be to a way to protect you from the things that are potentially going to threaten you. So the most important thing we ever do in all of this work is to make sure we're sending a message of safety. So speaking to your question, Camilla, when you are like, I want to identify this feeling, or do I need to identify this feeling in order to let the symptom go? That to me has a touch of urgency. Like it's not going to go unless I identify X. And so, you know, ideally, is it great to you know, be mining for gold and hit that moment where you're like, wow, that totally lands for me? Of course, that's great, but we can't have an urgency for it. So I just want all of this effort, everything you guys are doing for yourself, to be held in a space of equanimity, in a space of curiosity, in a space of wonder, and just say, huh, I'm curious. I wonder how I feel about this. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I won't. The symptom will go when it's ready. And that kind of posture alone can make it go. So I think that really it's all these questions are so great because they all allow me to speak to the same thing, which is living in the solution, which is we get better when our nervous system regulates, when we go from sympathetic to parasympathetic functioning, and our nervous system says, oh, there's nothing to see here, nothing to protect from. Let's just go on with our beautiful day.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you,
I think
Camilla.
I think I need to let go of putting so much pressure on myself that I need to figure everything out right away. Otherwise, there will be severe
Yes.
consequences for my life.
Okay, well, there you go. That alone could cause my nervous system. I'm getting nervous. Just thinking about how are you going to live if you don't figure everything out? Yes, no, of course. Yes,
Yeah.
wonderful insight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie, you are up.
Hi. So my question has to do with symptom imperative. So I'm about 7 months in with this work, and a couple months ago, I just started major challenging myself, like doing things I wasn't doing before, eating things I wasn't eating before. All kinds of experiences. And I have had some really intense symptom imperatives. I had one back and neck spasm, which lasted for a couple weeks, and then poof was gone. But in the past couple of months, I've had an ongoing up and down IC pelvic pain thing, which is so intense that I sleep like an hour and then I have to get up, and I sleep an hour and I have to get up. And it does come and go for sure, but sometimes it's 10 out of 10. And I have not had those symptoms for like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. So it's just curious to me. You know, in my journal speak this morning, I did ask the question, what are you telling me? And all I could get was, you're not feeling safe yet. I just can't find it. Can't find it.
Right. Oh my God, we always have a theme, don't we, you guys? We always have a theme to the call. So today the theme to the call is I need to find it. Okay. Great question, Jamie. So here is what I will say. First of all, amazing. First of all, today is a celebration for you, Jamie, because when a symptom that I know nobody can, if you're listening to the podcast, you don't see her face, but I see her face, which is she's not delighted that this is a celebration, but for me it is because something that hasn't been here for 8 or 9 years that now is screaming for your attention to me is such an indication that is your TMS is on its way out. 7 months in, everything's moving around. You're like that pinball machine where something is hitting here. It's beautiful because your nervous system is, let's picture it like a lovely, innocent, desperate to help you child who it thinks that you're being protected. It thinks you're dangerous eating new foods, having new experiences, finally saying nothing's wrong with me. Oh my God, my life is ahead of me. How scary is that? You know, so your nervous system hears that and is like, no, you know, all the red sirens go off. And as Gigi always teaches us, which I
That's
love
what
this analogy, that your symptom is simply an alarm bell. And when we take the fire hose and when we aim it at the alarm bell, what do? We're dousing the alarm bell. Is that going to ever help us? Hells no. And so what you're doing is you're calling it out for what it is, which is it's uncomfortable, it's exhausting, it's scary, it's irritating. Okay, allow it to be those things. And then allow yourself to know that even though it is those things, it's okay. It's okay because it's on its way out. I want you to feel, so here's a little thing that everybody can do. When you have the intensity of a symptom, you called it a 10 out of 10. Instead of resisting it, remember what we resist persists. I want you to envision that you're diving into it. I want you to eat it up. I had the most bizarre, like terrible thought the other day. It was about my dead father, and it just came to me out of nowhere. And instead of being like, I don't want to think about that, I just like literally energetically opened my entire portal and I said, what? What? How ugly can it get? Just come, just come. It lasted literally 10 seconds. But I know what would have happened if I tried to resist it. It would have visited me, and why am I thinking about that? And that's so weird. And he's been dead for 25 years. All this, it's. We all the things that we think are so real are simply flares being sent up by the nervous system to try to protect you. So I ask you to welcome it, to look at it as you would a confused and tantruming child and say, I hear you. Oh my God, are you annoying? You're the most inconvenient, but I know if I can just really be with you, you're actually going to go. And so now I see her smiling. But anyway. That's my advice.
Can I just say one thing? So
Yeah.
for the first time, like in 8 or 9 years, I went to the doctor because I said, oh my God, this must be a UTI. Of
Right.
course not. Of course not.
Right.
However, the doctor was like, I need to send you a specialist. And I said, no, thank you. She said, oh,
Right.
yes, thank you. You need to see a specialist. I said, no, thank you. I got this. And I walked out the door.
Amazing. Amazing. That
Okay.
reminds me of the way I dealt with my burning mouth that
Well,
time where the doc.
I have
What's
that one
that?
too. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right, Jamie. Thank you. Nico, you are up. Hi.
Have a question about challenges.
Okay.
So it's the start of the new year, and I have a choice whether to continue my studies or not, right? Or move out or not. And feels like I have an opportunity to juggle how many of them I take on at once. But just thinking about it, so like in meetings and stuff, my TMS flares, right? So the whole last week was a bit of a challenge. I'm wondering if anyway I'll have these challenges, or if I'm someday be more ready, right? For
Right. So
so not to tackle so many at once.
yeah, so there are two different ways to look at this question. The first way to look at this question is it is helpful in life to minimalize stresses to take care of oneself. So like I remember when my daughter was going through a terrible symptom imperative anxiety. And she had like a ski trip planned. It was like 3 months out, and she had like, this other social obligation. And what my doctor told me for her, she was little, she was in fifth grade, but it's good advice for anyone is anything you can take off the calendar, take off anything, because they're all perceptions of fear and of obligation and of social anxiety. Now, that doesn't mean that's the answer for you, Nico, but it is an answer. And so I think it needs to be considered in like kind of the basket of answers, which is if you really get quiet and say, is it time for me to take a minute? Is it time for me to really allow my nervous system to relax? Like, does it serve my highest good to pause? And if the answer, if your intuition, because another thing is part of this work is we're trying to get in touch with our intuition. We're trying to finally, at long last, get a better sense of what we actually think and feel, because illness and pain has taken that away from us for so many years and given it over to doctors and meds and whatever. So what I would say is that if that is something, if you maybe have a meditation, Nico, and sit with yourself and say, what's really real and true? Or maybe do a journal speak and call it the challenges in my life, what is real and true? And just without fear and without labeling anything a success or a failure, allow that inner intuition to speak. Start to know yourself. Like Lisa and I always say, we want to teach you yourself. You know, that is just like such an amazing concept to learn ourselves, to partner with ourselves. And so if that's the case, then yeah, maybe you make a calculated decision to eliminate some of those things. But alternatively, if you do this exercise and you're like, you know what, actually, fuck this. I actually can do this stuff, and it's time for me to do this stuff, and I don't need to put it off. Then you go in that direction. But I really think this is a question ultimately about intuition and about allowing yourself to be gentle no matter how that goes. So gentle with yourself about overdoing it if you say no, screw it, it's time to move forward, and being gentle with yourself also about minimalizing and taking things off the calendar.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nico. Jennifer, you are up.
My question is about belief, and I'm actually really frustrated with myself that I'm even having trouble with this at this point. I've been following you since like summer of 21. I mean, I know this, and yet I'm really struggling with this particular symptom. I'm have been having For years and years before I got started with you, I was having left-sided knee stuff. And I did all the stuff. I did the MRI, I did the cortisone, I did all that stuff. And I did end up having arthroscopic surgery. And it's better, but I don't really know that it was about the surgery because I was going through the curable workshop at that point, and then I found you. And so I don't know, but now, since about last August, my right knee is like giving me trouble. And you know, I go through all the, well, of course, you know, because I was putting all the pressure on the right knee when the left knee was bad. And well, maybe it is a torn meniscus. And I don't know how to sort of get past this. I can't quite get myself 100% belief that this is TMS, even though I have, you know, there have been things that have happened that, well, and I don't have to know what it's connected to. But anyway, my question, I guess, is how do I shut that part of my brain up and say, no, you do not need to go through all that crap of x-rays and MRIs and blah, blah, blah. And even if it is something like a torn meniscus, I mean, for God's sake, your back is your back and you don't have pain. So like, why can't I make myself believe that 100%?
Okay.
How can I get myself? Yeah.
So we're gonna conjure the image again of the nervous system being like a confused child. So as you guys know, I'm finishing up this book, and one of the stories is included is my youngest daughter who had something called an accessory navicular bone. It's a diagnosis that 14% of the population has, and it looks like a second ankle on each of her feet. And it's a long story that I'm not going to get into now, but when we got it checked out, the orthopedist said she needed surgery. It was like a hysterical moment. She's a dancer. She was 11. But the way we finally resolved it is after I did the research, by the way, on the surgery. You know, I'm not adverse to getting things taken care of that need to be taken care of. The research on the surgery showed me the surgery does not guarantee pain cessation. And a couple of people who had it were saying they had worse pain afterward. They had neuropathy at the incision site. And I'm like, okay, no freaking way. And so I came to my daughter after she had been totally medicalized, sobbing in the orthopedist, all this stuff. And I said, okay, I have made a decision. Now, in this moment, I'm the authority because I'm the mother of an 11-year-old. In your moment, Jennifer, you're the authority. Your intention and your certainty is the authority to your nervous system. And I said to her, here's the situation. I don't think you need this. I don't think it's going to help you. And here's what I'm telling you. We're not doing it. No matter what. Now, I knew in my mind, like, God forbid, like, it's like, you know, we did this TMS work for a year and she's still like, she can't walk. We're obviously going to look back to it. But I said, people need certainty to be safe. Your nervous system needs your certainty to release these pain signals. So I think what you need to say is, come hell or high water, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm not going through it again. It's not happening. I'm not having another freaking surgery that nobody promises is going to relieve my pain, that Nicole has hundreds and thousands of people who have, you know, reported that they have no pain, that is real desperate pain that has gone away. It's enough. You have a little come to Jesus moment and you're like, nope, not doing it. And I'm moving on. I'm doing the TMS work, because as long as there's a little tiny doubt for your nervous system that maybe you're going to go down that road, of course, it's going to carry on. That's just the way this works. And so that kind of certainty, just, you know, to finish up the example, was what she needed. We did the work and she was pain-free within probably about month, 6 weeks. And now she's 16 and it's never come back. She has the bones. Her feet look the same, but she has no symptoms. And that's what I'm saying. Like, your body will take the route that will keep you believing that this is TMS this is structural, because it wants to protect you. And so it's so important for you to be like, nope, you know, maybe one day in the future when I'm like 80, if I feel like doing this, that's fine. Today, I'm not doing it. Period. The end. Let's do the work.
Yeah, I get all that. That makes complete sense to me. And yet I still struggle. I don't know if it's like a trust issue, trusting myself. I'm not sure, but
that's what I want to say to you guys. When there is an issue like that, that's questionable, like, is this really about me needing the surgery or is this about me not trusting myself? I want you to conjure the Gigi. If you are pointing the hose at the surgery, you're pointing the hose at the alarm bell. If you are pointing the hose at, do I trust myself? And how does that connect to so many experiences in my life? And how does that make me feel on a daily basis? I'm my own best friend and I don't trust her. Okay, well, that's a terrifying way to go through life. That's the journal speak. That's where I want you to put the hose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just saying that makes me emotional. So yeah, clearly.
Beautiful.
I got some writing to do.
Amazing. Jennifer, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. So are you.
Oh, thank you. All right. Moving on. Allison, you are next.
Hi. I was just wondering, Nicole, if you could speak a little bit about conditioned responses, but ones that specifically cannot be addressed with graded exposure or any kind of gentle approach. So, for example, one of the things that I'm sure many people can relate to this, one of the things that triggers me beyond all words is my children. I love them so much. They are so wonderful. But there are things about them, A, that drive me up the wall, of course, but B, it's about their vulnerability. So at the weekend, my eldest daughter was so poorly, nothing serious. It was, you know, an ear infection, but she was sobbing in pain. And the flare that has come off the back of that. But I can't gradually expose myself to my children being ill. Like, they need me, and I have got to be in it, in the trenches. We have to be, it's my job, and I want it to be. But it's hard. And I just wonder, it's something about parenting. And I think for me, contextually, there is, I won't obviously go into it time-wise, there's a lot of context around the time my TMS started. It was just after my second daughter was born. So there's a lot of, the children are woven into it. But I think for a lot of us, it's so hard, isn't it, to expose ourselves in a way that's not going all in when you have to go all in.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is, if we had our druthers, you just don't get involved in a situation as much. You draw a boundary. You know, you don't necessarily see that triggering person as often. And you're like, yeah, I can't do that with my kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to
no.
be in situations with them, like when they're poorly.
Right.
You like it's your role, and you want to fulfill that role of being there, right there with them. But it's seeing them sob and be in agony that triggers my sensations, and then I'm in a massive flare up. And it's
got it,
obviously not their fault, it's just the situation,
right? Okay, I'm going to repeat the end of Allison's question because you were breaking up a little bit, but I understood you, which is that what she's saying is it's not just about being around her children. It's about the fact that her children have been ill. And when there's like an ear infection or something where your child is like really struggling, my God, I've had my kids having ear infections with the screaming, and the pain that they're going through is insane. She's saying, I can't not expose myself to that. I'm their mother. So here's what I want to say, and this is going to be as much of a parenting response as it is a TMS response. There needs to be a shit ton of acceptance that we practice as parents of young children, period, the end. It's just, my friend, I remember I had three kids under the age of five. So I had a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a newborn. And I, oops, sorry, guys. So, someone has to mute. Everybody make sure you're muted, please. And I remember at one point I was really distraught for like reasons that could not be changed, just the fact of having these kids. And my friend who also had little kids looked at me and she goes, Nicole, these are the lost years. Like, stop expecting it to be better. And it actually really freaking helps. Like on days when my children are making me miserable, and they're fewer and far between because teenagers, they make you miserable in a different kind of way. But on days when that's happening, all I just say is, okay, well, this is going to be a shit day. And oh, well, like, I don't need it to be otherwise. And that is something that I really can give the gift of all to all of you, regardless of where you find yourself, is if you need something to be other than it is, you will suffer. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. If you can sit with what is and say, okay, here we are. I have a screaming sick child. The fact that I even have these kids is a misery on some days. That's what happens with young parents. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. I'm not going to feel happy about it today. It is such a great space to then move on to the more complex things you need to think about, which are, for example, taking a break during that day, handing the child to either the TV or a partner or whatever, and saying, I'm going to get down to my journal speak and just be kind. Sometimes journal speak is about excavating, and sometimes journal speak is about soothing. And you in that situation, Allison, might need to just sit down with the journal speak and treat yourself the way you might have tried to treat your child. You know, sometimes they won't accept it, but you will accept it, to be like, hi, baby, I see you. Wow. That's a hard one today, isn't it? It is so painful to watch her suffer. And my God, now it's making you suffer. And all the things that could potentially be said, say them. You know, give yourself that kindness, and it is actually really helpful. It helps you restart something that has felt a little bit more rocky. And I think that could be a good exercise for you on those days where there's just nothing to do except what you're doing. Okay, Marguerite.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
To be back here as my second time. And I thought I had a clear question, which I do, but I think listening to everybody, it's been so, I feel like everyone's asking a lot of the questions that I have. So I'm very grateful for what you've already been sharing. I think how I might ask my question would be, it's almost like opening up that closet or that space that's just like, it's just overwhelm. Like I'm dealing with feeling my nervous system being triggered again from a symptom coming back and wondering, is this really TMS? Is it a thing that I have to take care of? So I feel like my nervous system is triggered. And then Nico's question about, you know, what should I take on or not take on? That's me too. It's like, so my nervous system is definitely triggered. There's doubt. There's that, oh shit, there's a huge mess that I need to clean up feeling.
So this reminds me of an adage that I love, which is feelings aren't facts. And so sometimes when you feel overwhelmed with the feelings, it's really important to actually just like do just the facts, ma'am, kind of a little inventory with yourself. Like, what's actually wrong? Or like, what actually needs my attention today? Because there are some times where I'm so overwhelmed by feelings, but I know what it is. I'm just overwhelmed. Like there's a lot of shit going on, and it feels like a lot of other people's feelings are my responsibility. And sometimes you just have to kind of pause and like come into your center and say, okay, what can I actually do to deal with today? And just calmly center yourself in that, because we cannot deal with everything all the time. Of course, your nervous system is going to feel overwhelmed. So you did mention that you have a symptom that you're, you know, confused about. I love what was said earlier about pelvic pain being needed to be checked out. Like Jamie said, like, if you have like something that's really bothering you, go to a doctor, because they will tell you what you need to hear. Like, let's say she did have a bacterial infection. She'd get antibiotics. Great. The fact that she didn't helped her know, okay, I see exactly what's going on. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What you don't do is then take the bait and go start with the specialist, because every doctor will refer you to specialists. When you start to do this work, you get to know what you need to know, which is, am I actually physically, structurally ill? Do I need something to change that, fix that? Or am I really just needing that certainty so I can move on with the TMS work? So once again, the theme of this call, minimalize, simplify, feelings aren't facts. What's right in front of you, keeping in mind that the human animal is the only animal that is able to make what is in here more real than what's right in front of us. When I say in here, of course, I'm pointing to my brain in between your two ears. And so since we know that we have that capability, that our imaginations can run wild, well, then that's really, really important for us to center and inventory and figure out what it is we actually need to deal with.
So good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Carrie, you're up.
Hi, Nicole. This is my first time and I'm really new to everything. I just found you like 4 weeks ago. And I just want to say a big thank you, because your podcast and this community has given me hope for the first time ever. Thank you for that. I have kind of a strange, probably first question. But I'm just curious, is there more of a prevalence that people have seen with people that would be considered highly sensitive and chronic pain, or more on the empathic? I hate using that word because it's been co-opted so much, but.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm going to let you finish your question, but the answer is yes, but go on.
Because I am both, and I have known that for a while. And so, although I know it really doesn't matter what it came from, yes, I have this, yes, I'm these things, from a science perspective, because that's my background, I'm just curious if the, you know, a lot of people on this call would raise their hand and say, yeah, I've been told I'm sensitive, I, you know, I'm empathic, I take on people's, okay, awesome. Because I mean, I don't know why that just makes me feel better, but it does. And the whole thing with the, you know, when your child is having an issue, I feel, you know, my kids are all grown now, but when they would get sick, it would take me down because I would literally feel what they were feeling in my body. And it was so hard to separate. So that's really just my first question. So
it's a great question and adds a really important theme to this call, which is yes. And similar to a lot of things we're talking about, when you can see things for what is, it really catapults you into recovery. You know, I have something that I will label, it's not like you can get diagnosed with this, very weak energetic boundaries, which means that I am great at drawing actual intellectual physical boundaries. Like I can say to someone, no, I'm not doing that very easily. Didn't used to be able to, done a lot of work around it, but energetically, if somebody isn't well, isn't happy, is stressed, I literally feel permeable. Like I am feeling that. And also just like a little fun side note for me doing this work for 25 years, I get all your freaking symptoms, all of you. I get them. They are suggested to me. I've come really far. Just allow them to flow through me. It doesn't happen that often anymore, but it used to happen to me like hysterically a lot. Like I would laugh out loud when I was like, are you kidding me? Oh my God, I'm going to have knee pain today. Like, cause I just came out of a knee pain client. But anyway, the point is this. Yes, yes, yes. And Carrie, as you move through this work, I know you're new. It will be a great salve for you to say, ah, this is just who I am. I see. I'm in great company. And then you don't have to shame yourself for it. You don't have to fear it. You can be like, okay, we only can work with what we have, right? No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be a supermodel. I'm not going to be, you know, 6 feet tall and walking the runway. It doesn't matter. It's not in the cards for me in this life. And that's fine. You are an energetic, you know, person who has a lot of energetic boundary, permeability. Oh, well, you're empathic. Here you go. We deal with what we're dealing with and then we can accept it. And then we can just do what we need to do to lower the reservoir within the knowledge of what is.
That's great. Yeah. I've actually over the last couple of years done a lot of work with, people that are empathic and they teach you how to do those boundaries. And I actually literally had to do it before I was on this call because I knew as people started talking about their symptoms, I would have to be like, okay, I don't want to get that. So,
but also, but that's really important for you to bring up, Carrie. Don't resist it. Just like I said before, oh, well, what if I got a tinge of that? Who cares? Everything sends a message. I want the nervous system to feel the following messages. Safety, boring, duh, who cares? Like that's the message we need to send to the nervous system because that is the kind of stuff that allows us to go into rest and repair. When the nervous system hears, oh, duh, obviously that was going to happen. No urgency. That's what we're looking for.
That's great. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Welcome to the community, Carrie. Terry, you are up.
Hello. So I'll try and keep this as short and concise as possible. But you'll remember a while ago, I asked about like doing things scared and how do you, you know, and you gave me the whole story of, you know, for sitting with your child and then shoving them down the slide. And one of my great fears is doctors and medical. And I haven't been to a doctor in probably 15 years. And as you may or may not remember, I lost my mom a year and a half ago. And I was very much my mother's daughter, as I have taken on the same fear that she had. And in December, I did it. I went to my first doctor's appointment, and when I tell you I was vibrating with fear, like truly shaking, I'm not lying. And so I've learned some of the things that I was afraid of, that in my mind I thought I had were actually true. Thankfully, as of right now, everything is treatable, but I realized that, and prior to that, I had probably one of the longest flares I've had in my history, and it's still remaining, and this morning it's fucking flaring again. And I have I'm trying another doctor because I didn't care for the first one. So my very long-winded question is, coming off of being still in the middle of this longest flare ever and doing this work for so long, yet I still find I don't know how to authentically give myself the empathy and the love and give up the fucking fear of this all and will this ever go away. Makes sense?
It does, of course, yes. I mean, what I think of when I, like, once again, theme, what I think of when I hear this is just like kindness and gentleness. Like, if there was a child that was panicking in front of you and you were like, okay, it's time to be done being scared, that is definitely not going to get you where you need to go. And so this, everything comes down to, in your question at least, acceptance and self-compassion, really. I mean, it's about, how can I meet myself where I'm at? How can I not need this to be other than I am? And also, Terry, like, legitimately, if you didn't go to a doctor for 15 years and you're just starting now, like, how about some, like, duh, of course you're terrified. Like, you don't need to actually feel any shame around the fact that this is a new experience for you. I was panicked about throat cultures when I was a kid. I was actually removed from my doctor's care. He handed my mother my chart and a prescription for antibiotics and said, I can't treat this child. Because I would go like this. I'd put my hands over my face and I wouldn't let them do the throat culture. And I'm not kidding you. I'm 51. Last year, I want to say, I had a really terrible sore throat. And I remember saying, I'm walking into an urgent care. I'm opening my mouth and I'm letting them culture me. How bad could it be? And like, it was terrifying because I was real. It was new. And like, it's okay. By the way, I didn't have strep and he did it. But all I'm saying is, like, just wear it loosely, guys. Like, be gentle with yourself. Like, don't need to be other than you are, because that is the posture that will give you TMS toot sweet. So it's just, the more we can do to practice acceptance and self-compassion, the further we get.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really the big challenge for me, because, like, on paper, I get it, and I can been trying to do, you know, talk to my inner parts and figure out what part is trying to protect me, and but to have that authentic empathy and compassion for myself most of the time feels so out of reach.
And that's why you just have to meet yourself there. So today it feels out of reach, I'm going to do it out of reach. You know, today it feels hard, I'm going to do it as it's hard. And that's what you do. You start there.
By the way, very side note, my daughter was just diagnosed with scoliosis and another weird thing with her disc. And your story of your daughter at 11 was very reminiscent of that, because I was like, oh my God, I am like, was reliving, triggering all of my medicalization for my issues, and I kind of treated it the same way as you did.
Great. So, thank you.
Sorry, side note.
All right, moving on. Luke, you're up.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Luke. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm first time here. I don't really have a question per se. I'm just here to say thank you, and you're amazing, and I'm 2 years chronic pain free, and it's my first time showing up. I just want to say hey and thank you for the work and everything.
Amazing, Luke. I love it. Well, make sure you come on the community and tell your story and inspire people, because certainly people need to hear that.
I'm trying. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell me I'm safe? Because I am struggling here just to show up, man. It would be amazing if I could hear you say to my inner child, you're safe, you know, hand to heart.
Oh, Luke.
I love that so much.
Luke, you are safe, my friend. You are among, everybody put double hands to heart for Luke. You are among such a beautiful community of people who are so supportive and so loving and so trying, so lovely and trying to heal themselves. And you are very valued and welcome. And thank you for being here with us.
You made my day, Nicole. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You, Christine, you're up.
Yes, I have a lifelong habit of looking at the world through a negative lens, learned from dear old dad. And I always see the flaws in things in the worst case scenario. So I know that has impacted my health. And can you just speak to how to transform negative thinking?
You know, if we're going to, I can speak to how to transform any thinking. And so first,
okay.
And once again, theme. The first thing we do when we want to transform anything is we don't fight what is. So you just say to yourself, hi, here I am. I think negatively. Got it. Well, here I've always been. And then you talk to your dad. Who didn't you talk to your little self where you, because Christine, you didn't start out thinking negatively. Okay, you were 3, you were 4, you were however old you were, and you were full of life and full of love for life, because that's how we all start. And somebody scared you into thinking the world is a negative place and you have to think of it as such. So you go back to her, you give her a big hug and you say, hey girl, I see that you're just about to get totally traumatized. I love you. I'm so sorry, but I'm here with you right now. The only thing I ever want from you guys is to not fight what is. You know, as Byron Katie says, we can fight reality, but we only lose 100% of the time. And so it's just, you know, it's a, and by the way, Christine, you have such a beautiful smile and you don't seem negative at all to me. Your energy is great right now. So like, just start with me reflecting you back to you that you're awesome. And that like, you don't have to be that way. And another thing is we don't have to like over align with our like abusive / negative parents. Like, it doesn't help you anymore to be on his side that everything is bad. And like, you know, like I actually think a lot of us need to let that kind of feeling go. But I want to invite you today to just decide that you can be with that negativity and then just get a little curious about what might be positive in the situation and just play with it, but don't force it. Don't force it, because you have to stay authentic.
Great. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Steph, now you're back.
Okay. So I've been doing the work for almost 4 months. I'm still in it. I'm still working on releasing the fear. I'm having a tough time. But my question is actually, so I have multiple TMS symptoms. The one that brought me to this work was my GI symptoms and my stomach issues. But I have other stuff like my legs will go numb, my hands will go numb, I have lower back pain, insomnia, anxiety. I kind of anticipated the GI, the anxiety, and the insomnia to be like the last three things, because they're my biggest things. But my question is, the things that I'm no longer, like I'm not afraid of, like I'm not afraid of my lower back pain anymore. And I'm not afraid of, you know, this tingling in my arm that they said could be a pinched nerve, and this tingling in my leg, but it still is there. So I'm wondering why I haven't released those things yet, why they're still hanging around. Is it because my nervous system, because I'm still so scared of my GI symptoms and I'm still trying to release the fear around those, that the other things are still sticking around?
Well, you know, here's the thing. And I think this is, if you're rather new to this work, it's a very, very normal confusion that comes. Your nervous system has built up this defense over years of thinking that it needed to keep you safe. Now, you look young to me, but you're not like 12, you know? I mean, like if it takes 20 plus years, you know, however long since you've been sentient to walk into the woods, you're not going to walk out in a few months. And that's great, because if our nervous systems just decided to stop protecting us because we said everything was fine, we'd be walking into traffic and burning our hands on stoves and like really a whole mess. It makes the decision for you. So just because you are quote unquote not scared, that's amazing. That's amazing. First step, sit there. You're going to sit there as long as you need to sit there. And then all these factors come in, like Carrie said, you know, if you're overly sensitive, if you're super empathic, if you run anxious, okay, these are things that actually take a little longer. So what? Here we are, right? I'm not going to be a supermodel. I'm also never going to be a person that doesn't run anxious. Mm-hmm. I have an anxious nature. It will carry me through my life until the day I die. And that's fine. That's just how I am. It motivates a lot of great things in me, makes me like a really efficient person. So there's different ways to look at it. But I think what's really important for you is release the need for anything to change. Desire to be different than you are is read by your nervous system as fear. So just here I am. I'm not that afraid of this stuff. So wonderful. One less thing. I'm still a little afraid of this stuff. Wonderful. That's what I'm dealing with. Like it, as long as you can take down the heat toward your nervous system, you start making real progress.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Hillary, you're up.
Oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed by being up because I have so many questions every time
pick one. We have 5 minutes left and you and Luke sorry. Left. So I mean you and Jordan. So 5 minutes.
Oh okay. You know what? I'm gonna just wait till the next time because I don't
pick one. No, Hillary, pick one. Say something.
Okay. All right. One question I have is my own judgment about what is or isn't authentic.
Okay.
Is that's my nature. Is I'm a seeker, a processor, a writer, a storyteller, and you know, there's this constant tug between just listening to myself and like getting out of my own way and mm-hmm. kind of having this, you know, like for years I wouldn't journal because I didn't understand that journal speak. People who journal, I write. So I compose when I journal and journal right. speak, is that, you know, and when I finally got that, but there's this intersection where even that, I don't know, I'm not making any sense. So I guess I don't know what the question really is. I just wanted to get some feedback on how to get out of my own way. And I think I hear the answer, which is it's a practice. And
and I think that, you know, Hillary, it's hilarious because every time, and I know Hillary a little bit, she's been in the community for a minute. Every time she gets on, she goes, I have so many questions. I don't know which one to ask. So even your asking of the questions is indicative of the issue here. And so I would say the same advice I've been giving, which is start where you are at. You know, the social work mantra when you go to graduate school for social work is you sit down with the client and you start where the client is at, because the psychological paradigm is actually much more focused on pathology. So in psychology, when you get your PhD, you sit down and you say, okay, where do the symptoms of this client fit into this, you know, rubric? Social work is different. Social work is you sit down, you start where the client is at. So I want all of you, Hillary included, to start where you're at. So when Hillary, where you're at is, I'm confused. I have trouble knowing what's authentic. I want to write things that sound nice and are beautiful and are composed. Here's where I am. That's my struggle. And just start there and invite in the fear and invite in the conflict over doing things imperfectly or not knowing your intuition and not being able to figure it out, and just sit with it and see what comes. Allow her to finally at long last just be imperfect and speak.
Yeah. Well, that's really helpful, I think, because that's what, I mean, I feel like one of the things that I'm really getting is that if I just keep showing up and, you know, left foot, right foot, breathe and do the work, I can, then it's a practice and each one doesn't have to be a perfect,
you know. Oh my God. There are sometimes I journal speak and it's a whole lot of nothing. And I'm like, that was just the fattest waste of my day. And that's fine, because it's not actually. It is just another stepping stone on the path. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary. Okay, Jordan, rounding out our call.
Hi.
Hi.
I had two questions, but I'll try to keep them short. The first was just related to like complying with any sort of protocol is a real struggle for me. Journal speaking regularly has been like a really difficult thing to actually make regular. And I assume that's, you know, something I should work on in some way. I wanted to ask about that. And then the other thing I wanted to ask about, so I've had chronic pain for about 15 years. And now on one of my chronic pain sites, which is my ankle, I had like a, which originally started with a sprain, became chronic pain. Now I re-sprained it because I got back to doing stuff, made a lot of progress, re-sprained it very badly. So now I'm kind of back in the seeing doctors and having to do PT, and there's a whole compliance thing is there as well, where I'm supposed to be doing stuff every day. And so I'm kind of that balance between like working on the kind of the TMS side and the fact that I have this act, you know, I did this, you know, a new injury, which by the way, reduced some of my symptoms, but that's another story. Anyway, how to manage that balance that.
So I'm going to speak to the compliance thing first. Okay. So as you may have heard me say 100,000 times, life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. And I think a lot of this work, a lot of the reason that the certain kinds of personalities get TMS is we are resistant folks. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to have to do anything, you know, that's uncomfortable. Like we are the type of people that actually oddly, paradoxically, we resist what will get us better. And that is fine. You just have to start where you're at and you have to say, I know what I am. I know what I'm like. I resist, or I don't want to do this, or I don't like to comply. Here we are. Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. Do you want to get better or not? And that's where I tend to be like, some people see me as like such a love bucket, but the truth is I'm actually, I can be really tough lovey. I can be really, I've spoken to lecture halls of people where I'm like, you're resistant. Well, how long do you want to suffer? Your choice. You know, and like that helps actually. This, I know what helps me, so then I know what helps you. It kind of helps sometimes to be like, up to you, man. You can have pain for the rest of your life. You don't want to comply? Go for it. You know, and like have those little conversations with yourself, because that for me helps me move the needle, helps me be like, actually, no, I freaking choose to not feel this way anymore. So what's it going to take? And that's when you have to look over to me and to this community and to Sarno and to the many, many thousands, probably millions of people around the world that are better as a result of this work and say, okay, I know it works. God damn it. It works for all these people. It will work for me. But at the same time, I don't want to do it. So I need to make that decision. And you have the power. And when you start to realize that you actually have agency, and you actually, you've been in chronic pain for 15 years, it steals your power. It steals your agency in ways that are very frustrating. And when you start to see results and let your body be your proof, it's actually really incredible how it starts to actually motivate the journey, and you feel more compliant because you are just in that energy of forward motion. So that's the first thing I will say about compliance. And when it comes to a quote, real injury, this is what I will say. You just have to accept it and not give it any more energy than it needs. Like, for example, I'm working, I don't work like one-on-one with him, but I am in conversation with a player in the NBA, and his entire body is his livelihood. And he had a lot of back pain, blah, blah, blah. He had other problems with his feet, and he was completely symptom-free. It was incredible. He's killing it on the court. And then he sprained his ankle, just like you, really badly. He had a bad sprain. And all I said to him was, don't give it your energy. Don't give your TMS a gate, an open gate with which to then decide this is the next thing it's going to use to protect you. And that's where I wanted to keep him. I was just like, just don't, just allow it. Just say, I you know, a sprained ankle has a certain healing time that it will do. You know, I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'll do the physical therapy. I'll, you know, do the stretches. I'll take the anti-inflammatory, whatever it is. Oh, well, you take it like a vitamin. You give it no meaning other than through the lens of love, which is I'm doing what a person needs to do for oneself to get over this thing. And then you move on. You don't allow it to hold space as best you can. But going back to the compliance part, Jordan, if you are doing the work on a regular basis, it is so much less likely to take hold because you are not banking that kind of emotional reservoir that sends your nervous system into fight or flight that calls for the protection.
Thanks.
That you are so welcome. Well, you guys, let me tell you something. This has been a killer call. I am really, really excited about the quality and interesting types of questions you guys asked. It's so, so beneficial. Thank you for being willing to be on the podcast, because so many people are helped by this. And I love nothing more than helping you. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And for those of you listening to the podcast, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you next week. Bye.